Joshua chapter 4. Our reading at now this time will be at verse 14. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Just for a few moments, saints, we'd ask you to pray for us. We want to keep some consideration in mind. It's not what's behind you, it's what's before you. It's not what's behind you, but it's what's before you. Because we are people of a transitory nature, even though you have been given eternal life, if you're saved, if you know Christ, even though that we have promises of having an eternal inheritance that awaits us, those things are true, but those things are before us. Sometimes, again, you can find, if you, as a believer in this Christian journey, the Bible calls us pilgrims and strangers, sojourners. But there are times when there's an imbalance sometimes, and when that happens, in terms of our way in which we recognize the transitoriness of our lives. On one hand, we can have the mindset that since I'm already granted this future in glory with God, that everything that has ever occurred in my life, even though it has been washed in the blood, it has disappeared and dissipated. Amen. So we live as if there was never a past before. Then the other thing is that sometimes we can get absorbed in what has occurred, and we find that we can't make ourselves out of the things that we were in, indulgent, confronted with as part of our past, and we can't move forward. So as Christians, we want to have a true picture and understanding about how these things are a reality. And reality just means, in a very simplistic way, what things really are and how they are and what they will be. And what I mean by that is this. All of us here, we live in some tense. Amen. We had a past, we have a presence, and we got a future. Now, again, like we said before, you can do any kind of gymnastics you want to mentally and try to cause yourself to think, you know, by some measure of positive thinking, or try to divorce yourself in your mind that never, ever happened. You understand what I'm saying? When you come to Christ, he says, any man in Christ, we are a new creature. He said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Ain't that right? But he said, just because they passed away don't mean your past passed. You follow me? Some folks misuse the scriptures as if, you know, because there's some things that even when we get saved, we're still paying for. Ain't that right? I'll make it plain so I don't get too insensitive, but you know, if you was unsaved, right, and you bought 10 pairs of shoes, amen, on June 10th, and then June 11th you got saved and say, I don't want those shoes anymore, and you still had some money you had to pay on them, and you say, well, since I'm saved, I'm a new creature, old things have passed away, behold, I don't have to pay for them shoes anymore. Well, see, you understand, that's not reality. You know, there are things that we still, after being saved and all of our sins have been washed away, there's still consequences as a result of our past. But you don't live in the past. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? See, so there's something we need to understand in our Christian life so that you don't have yourself either, number one, because of your past, living a life of penance. Penance is when you continue to punish yourself for something you have regret for and that you did that you don't seem to be able to get over. And I'm here to tell you that no matter how much you beat yourself up, that won't make something go away. What you need to do is recognize that God has forgiven you. Amen. And even though there's something you need to still deal with, God has, through Christ and the blood of Jesus, he has, as far as your relationship with him, he has dealt with. And again, it's not always clear. It's not always clear to some folks. Amen. And so consequently, you either do that to yourself or let somebody hold it over you. But then again, now that we're saved and we're new creatures in Christ, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That don't mean you have doing everything new the way you're supposed to. Y'all with me here? And so that's the place in which we live. But there's some principles in Scripture that help us, particularly when we look at this account as Joshua and the people were about to go to the promised land. Are you with me here? Now, I want to be careful again because there's some lessons we learn from the Old Testament. There's some principles we can gain from the Old Testament. Just make sure, however, you don't stretch them beyond what the Scriptures is trying to say. I'm not trying to get to Canaan. Amen. But Canaan is an example of the Christian apprehension, appropriation of blessing that God has given us. Amen. Are you with me here? And also, Canaan is a demonstration of, because Canaan is not heaven. Are you with me here? Canaan is not heaven. But Canaan can give you some indication, again, that as we walk with God in obedience, and as we realize in Scripture and we take God at his word concerning his present promises for this life, that again, we will have a Canaanite-like life without the Canaanites. Can I say that again? Are you with me here? See, we can have a Canaan-like life. That means that which God said they were good, they will go into a land flowing with milk and honey. That we in this life, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. He wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about the appropriation of our relationship with him while we're still on earth. But if we still live in a carnal life after we get saved, amen, then you might be in Canaan, but you're acting like a Canaanite. And if I act like a Canaanite and live carnally, I will not experience the blessings of the indwelling life of the Holy Ghost. You won't lose your salvation, but you will not have the joy and the peace and the power that's promised if you walk in obedience and submission to God. So the people were on their way. Amen. The Bible gives us to know that God was taking them through. He had already used Moses to bring them to the precipice of the promised land. And you know that Moses did not have the privilege of being able to go over because he did not sanctify God in the presence of the people. That's another story for another time. However, God had already put in place another leader. But keep this in mind. There was another leader, but it's the same promise. Amen. Joshua did not come on the scene and try to change things up when it came to what God had promised his people. Moses was no longer there, but Joshua picked up the mantle and also the commands that were given to the leader to give to the people. So now it's time for them to go over to the other side. But there were some things in the way as they traveled. As they got to the place where they're about to go over and again go and take Jericho. That's the first city they would encounter as they cross over the Jordan. But the Jordan, there was a river. So God had to do something so they can bypass that 10-mile-wide river that was in the way. So as the people were getting ready to cross over, watch it now, Moses already talked to Joshua and told him some of the things he was going to encounter. After Moses was off the scene, Joshua picked up the command and commanded the people the same way. So in essence, they already knew that something was up. But they needed Joshua, as Joshua was talked to by God, by the Lord, to specify to the people what was going to happen. Are you with me here? See, you can put things down on paper, you can draw it up, you can draft them up, but it's a whole nother story when it's time for you to appropriate it. If you look at the account, he rehearsed to them a couple of times about what they were supposed to do so there would be some expectation and order. Amen. And somebody had to let the people know what they were supposed to do. So the priest, when they're about to go over, they went through the people and began to get them to understand, get ready, it's time for us to cross over. Amen. Y'all wait, say cross over. They're about to cross over. They're about to again enter into the first fruits of what God said they were going to have. But why? But they had to also, however, conquer what is ever in the way. It's not that God said you have to conquer to get the promise. No, you have to conquer because you got the promise. Amen. Y'all ain't listening to what I'm saying here. See, listen, God has promised, and everything in Christ Jesus that God has promised us is yea and amen. Amen. But we're still in this world. And we still fight spiritual warfare. We still got to bring down stronghold. You understand what I'm saying? So even though you got the promise, you still got to get up and fight this Christian journey. Some folk want to name it and claim it and don't do nothing else. Amen. You got to name it, claim it, pray, get up, fight, pray, confess your sin. You got to do all of that. Not to get it, because you have. Hey, follow me here. So they're about to go over, saints. God was preparing them. So what God said, listen, there's this Jordan River, and I need you to, you're about to go over, but see, this river is in the way. So the Lord caused the Jordan River to back up. I said he caused it to back up. He wasn't talking about the plumbing either. He caused the river to back up so the people can walk across the river on dry ground. And listen, and then y'all already know this. God done did this before. Y'all, amen. Some place called the Red Sea. And he parted that and called the Jordan to back up. God can do it any kind of way he wants to. He can make it back up. He can make it part. Y'all didn't hear me. See, listen. Because what God does, this is a different generation. Now, we told you that before. This is a new generation, but it's the same God. And I don't care how old you are in the Lord, you always going to have some problems. Are you with me here? You always going to have some problem. There's always going to be something in your way. I don't care what you think and what you say, how old you are. There's always going to be some obstacles in your Christian life. The good thing about it is we have the same God, and the same God that parted the Red Sea for your forefathers, for your grandmother, for your grandfather, for your great-great-grand, that same God is here for you today.